And now more Tune Up with Deb, produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Let's send it back to your host, Deb Ross.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you're just tuning in to Tune Up with Deb, my guest today is Todd Doherty. He is a member of Parliament. He's our representative in Parliament. We have been speaking about his involvement with Veterans Affairs, and his direct involvement with Veterans Affairs was crafting a bill that was dealing with the specifics and the treatment of post-traumatic stress disorder in our military and in the Canadians who serve us in uniform based on the pain that they go through with just their job description. So just before the break, Todd and I were talking about the stigma that is generally attached to mental health challenges. And I wanted to add that a comment here that if someone in our circle of friends or our family, they're diagnosed with cancer, there's quite a response in our community to that. But I think in one sense, even though cancer is not cured, there's an understanding of cancer that it is it's a challenge for the entire family. It's a challenge for the community that that person belongs to. And there generally is quite an outreach of support for people and families who are experiencing cancer, not so much so with mental health, even though it takes such bravery for these individuals who are struggling with PTSD and other challenges, work-related challenges that affect us mentally. It takes a lot of bravery for them to come forward and seek help. And of course, it does affect the families. Generally speaking, unfortunately, we really don't know what to do with these people as a community. And even saying these people somehow disconnects them from our community. In our chat today, we would really like to encourage each other and our members of our community to handle and approach these situations with just a different perspective. And Todd, I've invited you here to talk about all of your involvement with this bill and the passing of this bill. So though that was my 2 cents worth of just based on what we were talking about before the break. You want to just take over from that comment there?
Yeah, you know what? I'm talking about it all the time. And I said this, you know, I had a serious health scare earlier this year. And the cards and letters and, fruit baskets and everything I received were amazing. People wanting to drop by and check in on me all the time. And yet I have first responders, paramedics, police officers, firefighters that are telling me that as soon as they came out of the shadows and said that they were struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder, it's almost like they're ostracized. I had a wife of a police officer that committed suicide, and she told me that after the initial week, nobody calls her anymore. Nobody talks to her. And she doesn't get invited to any of the spouses' events anymore. It's almost like it's almost like out of sight, out of mind. If we don't talk about it, then it doesn't really belong. It's not really there. We don't talk about it, then it's not going to... And I always tell people this story. When I was teaching crisis intervention and suicide prevention, I asked to come to schools to specifically talk about this, but yet I couldn't say the word suicide.
Oh, is that right?
I couldn't go into a community, even if they just had a suicide. I wasn't allowed to talk about suicide because for fear of glorifying it and actually spurring on other people from... copying it. You know, PTSD is, and I'll specifically talk about the mental health injury or the mental health challenge aspect for a first responder or a veteran or military. You know, those who sign up to serve our country and to our community, they do so because they want to make a difference.
Yes.
And they're not weak individuals, and inherently they're the ones that want to serve others. They're the ones that restart our hearts when we're sick. You know, I always talk about, you know, in my mind, a hero doesn't wear a cape. A hero wears a shoulder flash and says, a police, or a ambulance or paramedic or firefighter. You know, they restart our hearts. They hold our hand as we are waiting for service. They're oftentimes the last ones that hear or see us take our last breath or say our last words. And these instances, you know, they see humans at their very worst, and they see humans at our most weakest times, and they themselves are humans. So this is going to have an impact on them. And to come forward in these, whether you're a police officer or a firefighter or a paramedic or in the military, to say, you know what, that last call really bothered me, or I don't know why, but I just can't get the images of that car accident and the victims out of my head, and it's really troubling me. For them to come forward, it takes enormous strength, because they're seen as weak, or many times they're, you know, that may have an impact on whether they get that next promotion. You know, I had a police officer write me a while back and say he can't come forward, although he's been struggling, he can't come forward because then he likely won't get the next, you know, the promotion to be either the SWAT team or the emergency response team, which is what he's been striving for.
Hmm.
You know, and for them to come forward, so everything we do is to try and make sure that we build that confidence. The more we talk about it, I think we're doing you know, hopefully society will see and become a little bit more understanding that mental health injuries are very real.
Yes.
And it can be a sight or a smell or a sound or even a song or just something that triggers it back. We had a doctor appear before our committee way early on to talk about that he believed that, you know, the rule of the thirds, that a third of the people struggling from PTSD, we're going to lose outright. A third of the people, we're going to have some sort of normalcy in their life, and a third of the people are going to recover 100%. And I took offense to that, because a mental health injury is like alcoholism. You never know when you're going to have a flashback. Because you could be well and leading a normal life for 20 years or 25 years or longer, and all of a sudden there's a trigger mechanism that brings that back. You know, we talk about the soldiers that would come back from World War One or our wars throughout the years, and we never called it PTSD, we called it shell shock. We just knew that they were, you know, loud noises startled them, or they were changed when they came back from seeing the horrors of war. And now we know, as years go on, that is, they too were struggling with post-traumatic stress. So we have to, you know, as a society, we have to be better. We have to be better at making people feel comfortable to come forward. I hear all the time that, you know, when you're in that mental health injury or mental health fog where things are struggling, you're not thinking clearly. You think that the world is going to be a better place without you, or those around you are going to be in a better spot without you. And I tell people this all the time. We have to get back to asking people. It's one of the reasons why I'm so proud of our, you know, where we live, because we honestly care about our neighbor. We honestly care about the person that's walking down the street. We look at people in the eyes and we ask them how we're doing. But, you know, as a society, it's asking those three words: it's, are you okay? You know, how are you doing? You know, getting back to doing that, and it'll say, it can save somebody's life. You know, we don't want a memo in today's society. Everybody's got that 1,000-yard death stare, and somebody sneezes, you don't want to say bless you because you don't want to disrespect them or impose or whatever. And we don't want to meddle in other people's affairs. We always say that, you know, if they needed help, they'll ask for it until it's too late. And then we read about it in the newspaper, we see about it on social media. And you know, we have to get back at, you know, actually caring about, you know, what our neighbor is doing, you know, how they're doing, or, you know, our friends and our family, our colleagues, and just having that conversation about that, you know, and that, asking that question, are you okay?
And then having the time to actually listen to the answer.
100%.
Yes.
And that's actually the next thing I was going to say, is that don't just do it and then brush by, is that actually listen. It's so important. It is just so important. I can't say it enough. You know, we all live a fast-paced life. You know, I remember the conversation I had very long time ago when I was teaching crisis intervention, suicide prevention. I was probably only 19 myself, or 20 maybe, and here I am addressing a whole group of kinsmen or Rotary or whatever, and people far older than I, and they said, well, why do you think, you know, kids are committing suicide or having these challenges? And here's the wisdom that my 19-year-old self kind of threw out. And I said, you know, money is everything, and time is money. And so nobody has the time just to invest in one another anymore. You know, we ask, you know, as we're passing by, how you doing? Stop, listen. Take the time to listen. Take the time to just engage, because you're going to save a life, and you can save a life. You never know that conversation that you're going to have that it just might have a profound impact on somebody. If somebody tells you that they're hurting because of something they saw or something they experienced, believe them and offer to talk. You know, just check in with one another every once in a while and do whatever you can to find that person to help.
Yes, yes. Well, to our men and women in uniform all across this nation, we extend our very deep thanks on this Thanksgiving weekend. We thank you for the bravery that it took for you to sign up. We thank you for the bravery that it takes to keep going in your job. And we also thank you for the bravery that it takes to come forward when there has been some type of mental suffering that has been uncomfortable to talk about. We extend our thanks. Todd, thank you so much for your time today. I look forward to chatting with you again very soon.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much. On behalf of my family, I just want to wish everyone a very happy Thanksgiving, and the words that you said about our brave men and women that have signed up to serve our country and community is so true.
Yes.
We thank them every day, not just on Remembrance Day, but every day we should be saying thankful. Thank you to them and to the families, because together they sacrifice an awful lot.
They do. To my listeners, thank you very much for your time, and we'll talk again soon.
A half-hour financial advice program, Tune Up with Deb, is produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Deb Ross is an accredited financial counselor with Intune Financial Solutions in Prince George. Be listening for Tune Up with Deb each week at this time. For previous shows or more information on Intune Financial Solutions, visit intunefinancial.ca.